Back now on The Takeaway, I'm Kai Wright in for Tanzina.
Y'all, yes. My beloveds, yes. This is real. Yes. This is live. Yes. This is three-dimensional. Yes.
Actor Andre DeShields there taking part in something many of us haven't experienced in a long time, a live in-person performance.
Whoa.
DeShields was part of an outdoor pop-up show in Times Square this week, one of a number of cultural events taking place this spring in New York City, as part of a statewide effort to revitalize the arts sector. New York is also one of a growing number of states that are slowly allowing the return of limited capacity indoor performances starting this spring. That's in addition to other states like Texas and Mississippi that are currently allowing venues to operate at full capacity. And while public health experts continue to urge caution, particularly when it comes to indoor events, there is a growing hope that the warmer weather, along with more vaccinations, can open up more possibilities for artists in the months ahead. Here with me now is Charles Williams, a pianist based in Kansas City and a board member for the American Jazz Museum. Charles, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Miranda Heyman, a theater writer and director based here in New York. Good to have you, Miranda.
Thanks for having me as well.
So, Charles, you are in Missouri, where live concerts have been allowed to take place since last May. Have you performed in front of any audiences, either indoors or outdoors, since the state allowed concerts to start back up?
If I have, it's been at a very small capacity, but most likely everything's really been kind of canceled.
What do you miss about it? Assuming you missed something about it prior to the pandemic, what did you get from a live audience as a performer?
You miss the energy that you get from the audience, because audience, you know, injects energy into the artist, and that makes them perform even just that much more, because there are people there, people present. You can just feel the vibe from each other.
There's a charm. You need to, even as an audience member, you know, there's this connection with the artists that just doesn't exist over a screen, I guess.
Yes, it's like a heart-to-heart thing, you know?
Miranda, as a theater director, what did the audience mean to you before the pandemic?
Well, I mean, the audience was, you know, the whole point of the thing, really. Theater is defined as live bodies in a shared space. So what is theater without that? That's been a question that I've certainly been asking myself, and I think the industry, as we move through Zoom theater and pre-recorded stuff as well, is really contending with what is our art form right now without liveness.
Mm-hmm. You're in the early stages of planning out a theater installation for this summer that could have a live in-person audience. What's it feel like? What's it feel like to get back to directing after a year without in-person shows?
It's scary, to be honest. Scary to be the first. I will say that we are taking the utmost precautions, and we aren't planning on even having any live performers to, you know, really keep the audiences and everyone involved safe. But it's exciting. I did a site visit earlier this year, and I was surprised at how emotional it was to be in a theater space again, even empty and even, you know, darkened and dusty. It was really powerful. So I'm excited to be able to welcome folks back to just that. Even if we don't end up putting on anything, it was just nice to be there again.
Right. You said it was scary. I assume you mean the health risk, but did you also mean just the fact of doing a performance live?
Oh yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, as anyone would feel being the first of anything, right? There's a lot of pressure on us. And also with the reckoning of racial injustice and systemic oppression that is, you know, theater is also susceptible to, we really have a lot to say when we come back about what we want to not only do and how we want to reach our audiences more accessibly and safely, but also how we want to speak to everything that's happened in the past year and really create something of a template of how to move forward.
Yeah. Charles, what about that? I mean, as people come back in this particular moment, I mean, whenever we get back in this particular moment, it seems like I imagine this will show up in everybody's art, this moment we've been through. What do you think? How's it going to show up in your work, you think?
Well, I just hope that there'll be a greater appreciation for live music during this time, but we've learned a lot of things have been taken for granted. The musicians here will have more of an opportunity to play more once things start to open back up a little bit more, and people will be more appreciative. I'm not saying that they're not, but I'm talking about people that hire musicians. Maybe like, hey, this is what kept us busy. This is what kept us, you know, putting food in front of the people while they listen to music, you know, to have entertainment, that it might open maybe some better doors for musicians to have more gigs. Also, young musicians that are learning this art form, and how encouraged are they behind knowing, are they going to have a future in the arts, you know? Yeah.
Do you feel like, when you think about spring and summer, does getting back in front of live audiences seem like a possibility to you?
It seems like a greater possibility, more of maybe a bigger crowd. We've actually started to do some things here in Kansas City, where we just had a concert Saturday night at our gym theater, and we had Denise Times in, and we allowed 100 people to come in to watch that show, but we social dissed in the auditorium, and mm-hmm. it was a great vibe there, you know, even with her and her musicians, you know, got to talk to them afterward, and they were happy. They were there to play, you know, and just mm-hmm. be in front of a crowd, of even though it wasn't a big crowd, but
yeah. Miranda, I wonder if all of this, when folks get back, will prompt rethinking of live performances in general, if there's something new that's going to come out of this, just about how people perform live. Do you think so? And if so, what might change?
You know, the thing I'm most excited about is that as live performances are coming back, folks are really still thinking about how to maintain an at-home experience for folks who still might not feel comfortable coming out, or, you know, for folks whom it is still dangerous, or they have other access needs that mm-hmm. Don't make sense for them to come in person. So I feel really excited that many theater companies, as they're talking about reopening, are still mm-hmm. talking about maintaining a digital season and doing digital programming, and even having an at-home experience that runs parallel to what is happening in person. I mean, that's what we're talking about too, right? So yeah. I feel excited about the permanence of the, how do we continue to create digital media, and how can that have, you know, seasons be so much more abundant and rich and accessible?
It's certainly been cool to access a lot of stuff that I never would have gotten before the pandemic. So Charles, I cannot be with a musician here and not take the opportunity to sneak in a hit of music, something sort of kind of like live, I guess. Can you play us something that you would be excited to play when you get a chance to be with a live audience again?
Gosh, there's so many things, but I can just play you a little something here named My Wild Irish Rose. It's an older tune, but we put a little jazz flair onto this.
Wonderful. Man, Charles, that is so good for my soul.
Thank you. On a
day of hard news in particular, it's a reminder of what art and music
can
do for us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Charles Williams is a pianist based in Kansas City and a board member for the American Jazz Museum. And Miranda Heyman is a theater writer and director based here in New York. Thanks so much to you both.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.